Welcome back, MTM Giants Podcast. We finally got our answer about who the Giants are taking with the 6th overall pick, something that it feels like it's been speculated on for like months and months. It feels like longer than 2 or 3 months, really, like it's been forever. But the Giants do take Malik Nabers at 6th overall, and the board fell away. That was pretty interesting. I always wondered to myself, who would they take if the board came down to Nabers, Adunze, and J.J. McCarthy? Now, we've heard so many rumors about, oh, the Giants met with J.J. over Easter. There's a lot of interest. And McCarthy said yesterday to Adam Schefter on his podcast that he could, like, you know, envision himself playing for the Giants because they had a lot of meetings and the Giants showed a lot of interest in him. But when push came to shove and the actual draft happened, the Giants took Nabers over J.J. McCarthy, who went 10th to the Minnesota Vikings. So it was a weird draft because you had 6 quarterbacks go in the top 12, and you had, I think, the first 14 picks were all offensive players. So first and foremost, a weird draft. But for the Giants, a quarterback needy team who, yes, they have to keep Daniel Jones for one more year due to his contract, it was interesting to see them pass on J.J. McCarthy. Now, if the Giants don't get their quarterback position figured out, and let's say either McCarthy or Penix or even Bo Nix go on to have great careers in the next couple years, that's going to be a bad look for Joe Shane. There's no other way to say it. I know it's not fair, but Joe Shane and his decision tonight, he'll be compared to what these 3 quarterbacks that he passed on go on to do. Now, we might not see Michael Penix play for a while. That was a very weird fit, and I still don't understand it with the Falcons. But if McCarthy goes on to have a good career with the Vikings, and Bo Nix goes on to have a great career in Denver, which I do think is a little unique because I always felt that Nix was a perfect fit for Sean Payton and his system, so like maybe that's just like a perfect fit. But McCarthy specifically, I think whatever he goes on to do, if McCarthy next year breaks out and becomes like this really good quarterback, who I'm not going to compare him to like a CJ Stroud type breakout, that's a bit extreme, but something like that, like that will be used against Joe Shane. But anyway, for Malik Nabers, it's exciting. Like, to be honest, I wanted a quarterback. I think our quarterback situation is terrible. It's one of the worst in the NFL. It feels like there's no hope for the future for our quarterback position because in order to get a good one, the Giants probably have to suck next year or have another, or, you know, trade up and give up a bunch of future assets, which would not be fun. So I'm a little pessimistic about who the future quarterback's going to be. But for Malik Nabers as an individual, he was one of my favorite players in this draft. I would put Marvin Harrison Jr. over Malik Nabers, but I said this in a video once a couple months ago. I always thought that the gap between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers was not as wide as the gap between Adunze and Malik Nabers. Like, I think Nabers, you can argue, was the best receiver in this draft, and I know some people had that. Some NFL teams, I believe, had that. That report came out that some teams had Malik Nabers as their number one wide receiver, which is not much of a surprise. Like, the guy, he just moves different. His acceleration is next level. The way he can get open, break big plays, whether it's from the slot or on the outside, a great route runner, just gets separation. Like, he can be a game-changing type wide receiver, which the Giants have not had since the guy they took 10 years ago, ironically, out of LSU as well, which is Odell Beckham. And obviously, I was a big Odell fan. He transformed this offense, but the good part about Odell when we took him was we had our quarterback in place. So I think one of the questions we have as a fan base is, okay, well, who's going to throw the ball to Malik Nabers? Now, if the Giants have a pretty down year next year and they draft a quarterback high in the 2025 draft and you compare that quarterback with Malik Nabers for the next X amount of years, then yeah, it's going to work out perfectly. But looking at it right now, you're like, shit, who's going to throw this guy the ball? So that's the downside. That's the part where it's still a bit concerning because, yes, I love Malik Nabers as a prospect. He's going to be a great NFL pro, I think. But who is going to be his future quarterback? That is a question that this franchise still has to figure out. And unless they want to do some round 2 thing with Spencer Rattler, which I would not suggest doing. They're going to have to wait till next year. Obviously, I'm sure there was some interest in J.J. McCarthy, but not enough to take him over Malik Nabers, which, hey, we'll see how their careers pan out. I mean, nobody, and I mean nobody, is a sure thing in the NFL. I mean, I love Caleb Williams, but he can bust too, like, you never know. So, in the event that Nabers doesn't have the NFL career that we envision, but one of these quarterbacks that Shane passed on tonight does have a great career, I mean, that's going to be it. Like, there's going to be no looking back. It's kind of looked at. It's funny because I feel like with the way fans look at things, it's like, oh, well, taking a quarterback and missing on one is so risky. You can't do it. You got to be so sure. But we don't know if a wide receiver is going to break out either. You know, like there's been times where you take a wide receiver very high in the draft. I mean, Kevin White, Darius Hayward-Bey, like there's been guys like Laquon Treadwell. I don't think he was as high, but even Corey Davis was like pretty underwhelming. Like, you know, guys you take very high in the draft, like it's not a guarantee they pan out. Like, you have to find these guys a quarterback eventually. Some guys obviously are so freaking good, and I hope Malik Nabers is in the same category, that it doesn't necessarily matter who their quarterback is. We saw this with what's his name? Allen Robinson did not have a quarterback his first like 5 or 6 years. DeAndre Hopkins was good with Tom Savage and whoever else, Brock Osweiler. So for some guys it really doesn't matter. But I prefer to have a franchise quarterback and a franchise wide receiver one at the same time. Like, that'd be very ideal. And you look at some of the pro comparisons for Malik Nabers, and you come away with names like, I see Antonio Brown brought up a few times where it's like, whoa, you know, like Antonio Brown, you can keep the mental side out of it, but like Antonio Brown as a receiver was just tremendous for like a 6-7 year run. So if he even has a little bit of Antonio Brown in him, like, and he's probably more explosive than AB was. Like, AB was, the way he moved and can just like weave in inside and out of like defenders was amazing. And he was so good at getting open. His footwork was tremendous. But I think Nabers has an extra gear that Antonio Brown did not have, which is pretty scary. Now, obviously, he has to refine his game more to reach the Antonio Brown level as a route runner and whatnot, but still, to have that comparison is great. I've seen like DJ Moore comparisons, I've seen Stephon Diggs. So Nabers is listed at 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, so like, not the biggest receiver, but I'm trying to think. Odell's height was 5'11", and he could not have been much more than 200, if that. Odell was listed at 5'11 and 198, so he's right around what Nabers was. And Odell was a guy as well who moved in a very, like, freaky way. Like, he just was so explosive. We saw how many times in a Giants uniform his first 3 years did Odell catch a slant and just took it to the house and outran everybody. Like, if that's stuff, hopefully, that Malik Nabers can do. He's good over the middle. He's good at running, like, these wheel routes from the slot and even post routes from the outside and just beating his defender deep and making big plays. He's also just 20 years old, which is exciting. Like, he turns 21 in July. He's probably one of the younger players in this entire draft, so I do love that. So the change of direction is unique for him. And the way he can change direction, Nabers, and still not, like, decelerate at all, that's rare. Like, most guys, when you're changing direction and weaving in and out of defenders and making juke moves and cuts, you're going to, like, you know, decelerate. But I feel like when Nabers is making his cuts, he's going the same speed the entire way. Like, that's just tough to find. He's also a guy I mentioned can go over the middle. You can give him screens and just let him work his yards after catch magic and see what he can do. So the Giants don't have a guy like this on their roster. I mean, a lot of teams don't. They're obviously, there's a lot of great receiver talent in the NFL, but I feel like Nabers really gives the Giants something they have not had since the 2018 season, since Odell left. I would say the weaknesses for Malik Nabers, I think sometimes he relies on like catching with his body a bit too much, which is not the biggest deal. And his jump ball production could have been better, but there's really not many complaints. I don't, you know, no player is flawless. There's always something you can pick at. But I feel like even then I'm being picky. So pretty close to flawless prospects. And I'm just hoping that we have a quarterback that's good enough to give him the ball in good situations and we can get the most out of them. And you look at the Giants depth chart now, and there's still 2 days left of this draft, obviously, but you look at their receivers now, it's really not that bad. I mean, we love to sit here and complain about, oh, our receivers suck, they're not good enough, and blah, blah, blah. But really, I mean, Malik Nabers at wide receiver one. Then you put Jalin Hyatt at wide receiver two, or even Darius Slayton, who I think after this pick might be a bit expendable because you have Wandale, Hyatt, and Malik Nabers. Like, do you really need, like, four receivers? Like, you can go in the camp with those three young guys, and Slayton hopefully can maybe get you, like, a fourth-round pick or something. I don't know. Like, maybe that's the move they do. But you have three good young receivers. I'm very high on Wandale. Jalin Hyatt, like, so far in his career is just mostly a go-ball type of guy. He's got to add more to his game, but it was an encouraging first season, especially when he played with Tyrod Taylor, who was the only guy who can give him a good deep ball. So add Malik Nabers to that, and even like the tight end position, which might have Darren Waller, might not, but, you know, Daniel Bellinger, Jack Stoll, like, it's good enough, you know? So their receiving core is not that bad, especially if Wandale does break out like I expect him to, and Malik Nabers should be great. So, you know, Jalin Hyatt hopefully can make some plays for this team more consistently with better quarterback play. And then Darius Slayton, who's kind of like an unknown. I mean, we know what he is, but we don't know about what his role is going to be and would he be traded. I mean, I don't know. So we'll see what happens with that. But you look at their receiving core, and it's really not that bad. It's actually pretty exciting for what they can be. The glaring need for this team, obviously, is quarterback. And yeah, they passed on some tonight. And as I said at the top of this video, like, we're going to see how it plays out. Like, I'll definitely keep an eye on McCarthy and see how he's doing in Minnesota. I think that's a good landing spot with Kevin O'Connell and the receivers they have with Addison, Hockenson, Jefferson, whoever. I think Osborne went somewhere else, but still, they have good weapons there. So that's a good place for him to go, but Penix eventually. I was not the biggest Penix guy. Like, a lot of our fan base love Michael Penix. I wasn't the biggest fan of his. Maybe it's him being a lefty, which I'm a lefty as well, so I shouldn't hate on lefties too much, but I just never seen a guy with, like, Penix's play style as a lefty that's been good in the NFL. Like, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm too young to think of somebody else from the past, but, with that injury history and not seeing somebody else with that playing style before be a great NFL quarterback, I wasn't that high on Penix. If they took him in round two, I'd have been like, all right, that's fine. But for where he went at number eight, that was a little too rich for me. And then Bo Nix. I mean, Bo Nix, it's a scheme-dependent type of thing. Do I think Bo Nix could have been an okay quarterback here? I mean, yeah, probably. I think that Brian Daboll would get the most out of him, but you know, Bo Nix is like 23. Like, he's not going to get that much better, I feel like. So once again, I think that Sean Payton scheme is perfect for him and, you know, might be a bit of a high pick in most people's opinions. But if Sean Payton thinks it's going to work, then so be it. So we'll see how those careers turn out with those quarterbacks. But I do think some people in this fan base do kind of downplay how bad and how important our quarterback position is. I obviously was on Twitter bitching about how we still don't have a quarterback. And, you know, it's funny, if I was Joe Shane and I was in his shoes and I was there with that decision of McCarthy or Nabers, I really don't know what I would do. I'm going to answer this because I don't want to be a coward and kind of like just play both sides here. So if I was on the clock and those were the two names, I mean, I'd probably take McCarthy. But I would have a really hard time with that. Like, it's just like a flip of a coin type thing for me. So I won't be a coward. I will go on record saying, yes, I would have taken McCarthy in that situation. But it's tough because, once again, I love Nabers. I think he's, like, pretty much almost the wide receiver one in this class. He's very close to Marvin, in my opinion. But I also liked McCarthy's game enough to think that you can win with that guy. Like, yeah, McCarthy might not have a top 10 top five type ceiling. Like, I get that there are limitations to an extent, but we do know what we have with our quarterback room, And I think some people still expect Daniel Jones to get better, which I don't know why. This is year six. I mean, we know what the guy is by now, coming off an injury, of course, or multiple injuries. So I don't think that's getting much better. So if I was sitting there with this decision and I had the same roster the Giants had and I was making the same decision that Joe Shane was making, I'd probably take McCarthy because I would want my own guy, and I don't know when the next time we're going to be picking in the top six is. Like, yeah, maybe they suck again next year and we get Shedeur Sanders and it's all good, but just sitting here right now, it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe the Giants do have a better year next year and have some better health at the quarterback position. Because think about it, like, Daniel Jones went down multiple times, Tyrod Taylor got hurt multiple times. Like, the Giants had bad luck with injuries last year. I hate to give them that out, but they did. So the chances that with this coaching staff, who I still think is a good coaching staff, there are some new faces and whatnot, but to think that they're once again going to have like another miserable season like last year and pick in the top six, it's not a guarantee. Now, we saw from, you know, Minnesota trying to trade up and whatever, like whoever else, or even Denver maybe, it's tough to trade up from, you know, 13 or 14, 15 to get back into the top five. Like, that's very tough to do. So it's almost like you kind of have to, I don't want to say you have to hope the Giants suck next year, but ultimately, I still want my quarterback, and Malik Nabers, as great as he is, does not throw the ball. He catches the ball, so that's the part that I'm still concerned about with this team. Like, yeah, I think the Giants individually got a great player tonight. I think he'll be one of the top 10 best receivers in the NFL one day, has the potential to be top five. That's how good I think Nabers will be, but if the Giants never have a good quarterback during the Malik Nabers era, it will go for nothing. It's going to be the same thing as Hopkins in Houston before Watson got there and became good, and the same thing as Robinson in Jacksonville when Blake Bortles and Nick Foles were there. And it's like, whatever, like, that's not going to get the job done. So even, like, you know, we've seen great receivers with bad quarterback play. Larry Fitzgerald with Kevin Cobb and whoever else was there. Like, yeah, it's great to have an alpha receiver, but if you don't have that quarterback, you're not going anywhere. And right now, I do like Drew Lock, but I'm aware of who he is. Like, he's not going to come in here and break out and be the guy I wish he was coming out of Mizzou. Like, he is what he is. Maybe he'll be a bit better than what he was in Denver, but it's not like Drew Lock's going to come in here and be an MVP-level player. I just don't see that being the case. So, you know, our quarterback room with Jones coming off an ACL, two neck injuries, Drew Lock is 27, has not played much in the past few years, but I think his ceiling is kind of capped. And then DeVito, I don't think, has the natural skill set and physical tools to be anything special in the NFL. So you look at that quarterback room and it's like, it's kind of gross, you know? Like, I think there's maybe a couple teams in a worse spot. Like, depending on how high or low you are on Drew Lock, maybe, or on, not Drew Lock, on Bo Nix, maybe the Broncos have a worse quarterback room with Nix, Zach Wilson, and Stidham. I mean, there is some upside there with some of those guys, but maybe the Raiders with O'Connell and Minshew. But overall, the Giants have a bad quarterback room. It's probably bottom five in the NFL right now. They don't have a guy they're developing. Like, at least the teams like the Bears and the Patriots and the Commanders can look and say, oh, well, we have a guy we took in the top three. Like, we have faith in this guy for the future. So at least they have that. We don't have that. So that's the downside here. It's like, yeah, I do love Malik Nabers once again. It's just we don't have that position that you need to win in this league. Like, I don't know, you just can't win in this league with bad quarterback play. It's very rare. It happens, but it's not something you should be going for. Like, I don't think any GM is sitting there saying, you know what, I want us to be like the 2015 Broncos, where our quarterback, he may have been washed and may have been terrible and may not have been able to throw a ball beyond 40 yards, but we won the Super Bowl on the back of a great defense. Like, nobody's planning their team like that. Like, you still want that great quarterback. So that's the part about this team that needs to be figured out, and maybe it happens next year's draft. Maybe a trade's available next year. Maybe one of the top quarterbacks is available. I don't know. And obviously the Giants had interest in a quarterback. Like, the Giants legitimately wanted Russell Wilson. That was their plan originally, I think. And then That fell through. He went to Pittsburgh, never called the Giants back. He signed with the Steelers. The Giants never made an offer that was aggressive enough for Justin Fields or anything like that, which in hindsight, like if they weren't that high on McCarthy, I wish they just did take a shot on Fields. Like, why the hell not? So I know we're going back in time here a bit, but still, I feel like if this was always going to be your plan of taking a wide receiver at six, I wish they were a bit more aggressive with Justin Fields or even trying to get Russell Wilson in here, like just one of those Steelers quarterbacks. So obviously, this quarterback room is not too exciting, and hopefully it just somehow goes well, because just being realistic about it, a quarterback room of Jones and Locke and DeVito, it's probably not going to get the job done. But once again, there's good coaches here, there's better playmakers, new defensive coordinator. It's for the most part, I think the Giants defense could be pretty good. They still need a cornerback too. They need a starting safety. There's still stuff they need. But for the most part, it should be a pretty fine team on defense. So we'll see what Shane Bowen does with this Giants defense. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like it's weird to react to this draft because I do love the player, but I'm still very concerned about our most important position, which is quarterback. So I'm not going to give out a grade or something. Like, once again, Neighbors should be an absolute stud in the NFL. But if you don't have a quarterback, you can only go so far. So that's the part where it's like, I don't know what to think. So we'll see. Maybe next year they'll draft somebody and it won't matter. And this whole night I'll be bitching for nothing. Hopefully that's how it turns out. Hopefully I can look back on this night in a year and say, well, Mike, you overreacted. We got our guy. But just sitting here on April 26th of 2024, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I don't know in 2 to 3 years. Who's the Giants quarterback going to be? Nobody knows that answer. So that's the part I'm like kind of iffy about. Some other surprises in this draft and stuff that stood out. Of course, the whole Drake May going to New England. Not the biggest surprise. I had that in my mock draft. I was really hoping the Giants can trade up for him. It just didn't work out. I'm sure they did. I was on record saying last video that I would give up 3 first round picks to get Drake May. I don't know if the Giants offered that. We'll probably never know. I hope they tried, but oh well. Joe Alt went 5, which was, you know, I think the last couple days it was pretty well known that the Chargers were going to go offensive line and not receiver, which is a little weird. I mean, I don't like Quentin Johnston at all, so I don't know who their wide receivers will be next year. Joshua Palmer's as mid as it gets, so I don't know. J.C. Latham went 7, which was a little surprising. But he had some juice of going top 5, so it was weird. Like, J.C. Latham at one point today, I posted this on Twitter, at one point today was the betting favorite to go 5th overall. But he went 7th to the Tennessee Titans, so hopefully this is not an Isaiah Wilson 2.0 situation. Giants legend Isaiah Wilson. Bears got Adunze, of course. That was pretty nice for them, getting one of the top 3 guys and staying at 9. Panics to the Falcons, and it's crazy. There's reports coming out that the Falcons owner was not a big fan of that pick and that Kirk Cousins was not told about it, so he was blindsided. I mean, just a lot of crazy shit with that pick. McCarthy to the Vikings, they traded up one spot to get him. Olu Fashanu to the Jets. I was thinking it'd be Brock Bowers, but it was not. I'm thinking, I guess Fashanu will be, because I know they signed Moses and they signed Tyrone Smith. So it's like they have their tackle spots figured out right now. Do they put Fashanu at guard? I mean, I don't know. I've not seen any quotes about that. Maybe Bo Nix to the Broncos, maybe a bit early, but oh well. Brock Bowers to the Raiders was a little interesting. It's probably a good fit, but they took Michael Mayer like last year in the 2nd round. So, you know, kind of double dipping there on the tight end position early. Anything else interesting? So the first defensive player was Latu out of UCLA. He went to the Colts and, you know, he medically retired at one point. So a little risky there, but, you know, still. Byron Murphy was the 2nd defensive player to the Seahawks. Dallas Turner went at 17. I thought Dallas Turner was going to go to the Falcons at 8. So he fell much later than I thought he would. So he goes to the Vikings. Chop Robinson went 21 to the Dolphins. So a little higher than I think most people expected. Of course, the Eagles just, you know, Quinyon Mitchell falls in their lap at 22. So great for them. Brian Thomas Jr. was traded up for with the Jaguars, so it's a nice fit. You know, you lose Calvin Ridley, it's a nice way to replace him. So Terrion Arnold to the Detroit Lions. I love that pick. I was a big Arnold fan. Like, Arnold was a guy who could have went to the Falcons at 8, and I would not have been surprised. So they get him at 24, which is great value, so that's awesome. This was funny. So when the Packers, if you were watching the broadcast, when the Packers took Jordan Morgan, the left tackle out of Arizona, when the Packers took him, they showed a Packers fan, and he looked so defeated on his face. It was just such a disappointing look, and like his jaw dropped and his head dropped. Like, it was great with the cheese head. It was a great thing to watch because, I don't know, I just found it funny. So Graham Barton, who I thought the Packers would get, went a pick later to the Buccaneers. Xavier Worthy was traded up forward to the Chiefs, so they get their very, very fast receiver. I thought it'd be Mitchell, but they get Worthy, and he's a guy who can take a top off a defense with ease and be like Marcus Valdez-Scantling on steroids in a way, like just be a much better version of that. The Cowboys got Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, and the Cowboys, they don't miss on their offensive line picks, so I'm assuming Guyton will be good. Nate Wiggins snuck in the first round. He's a bit undersized, but a guy that the Baltimore Ravens can put at corner, and you know, I think Humphrey's now 27, 28, so they got to find somebody else in the future. So Nate Wiggins could be that guy. Ricky Pearsall, a guy that I do like, he snuck in the first round to the 49ers. I thought McConkey would be their guy. That's what I had in my mock, but it was Pearsall. And Xavier Leggett, a guy that if the Giants went quarterback in round one, I had Leggett in my mock for the Giants. I would have been a big fan of Leggett going in round two to the Giants if they had taken a quarterback in round one. But Leggett got traded up for by the Carolina Panthers, who get him at 32. So overall, a pretty fun first round, which once again, a very weird draft. You know, six quarterbacks in the top 12. First 14 picks were offensive players. That was like the first time it's ever happened where it's like the first X amount of players were all defensive players. And this was the first draft since 1983 where six quarterbacks went in the first round. So a lot of unique stuff in this draft. And it was a fun one to watch. So I just wish we got our quarterback, of course, but Malik Nabers should be a very elite wide receiver for a long time. So we'll see. We'll see what that quarterback position is like for this team in a couple years. And if they do get that figured out, then I'll feel pretty good about this team going forward. But as of right now, it's tough to get excited because I just don't trust this quarterback room at all. Some guys that are still left for the Giants who pick at 47 that are pretty interesting. Cooper DeJean fell to round two, which I did not see happening. I get why it happened, but I just didn't see it happening. I think Jaden Hicks was a guy that we're interested in, the safety. Who else? Max Melton, the corner. Kool-Aid McKinstry at corner. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle, would be a nice fit for the Giants. I like TJ Tampa at corner. I'm a big fan of Tampa, actually. I would love him in the second round, so we'll see if they get him. But yeah, some good names out here still. So we'll see what the Giants do in day two tomorrow. I'll definitely react to that after the case, probably on tomorrow night or Saturday morning. Whenever. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the video. I hope the Giants figure out the quarterback position some point soon, and hopefully Malik Nabers has good health and good fortune, and he'll be a top five wide receiver in the NFL one day. So hopefully that's the case, but hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll talk to you guys next time.